It's good to worship the Lord together, isn't it? And it's good to sing the Christmas carols and the songs of joy that the Lord gives us. Every Christmas season for the past 30 or 40 years, perhaps, my wife and I have had a task of choosing a name of the Lord to guide us into the coming year. And we do that prayerfully and very thoughtfully. And so this morning, and all through the Christmas season, as I've done in all the churches where I've pastored, we have names of the Lord displayed before you, both here in the front and at the back, so that you can go over those names and look and consider what name of the Lord would be significant for you to claim, to hold on to, and bring into the coming year. The Lord says the name of the Lord is a mighty tower, and those who trust Him will cling to Him. And we want to cling to the Lord in this time and in this season. So I trust that you'll join with us as you look for a name of the Lord that's significant for you. We have several things on the back table for you, and this is not a paid political announcement. This is an announcement for the church. We have a devotional book there called The No Sweeter Name. It's a book that I wrote a number of years ago. It's 40 days of devotions on the New Testament names of the Lord. Those are books that are free for you to take. Please don't take more than one, and don't let me find them on Amazon sold by you so that you can get a profit. This is a gift for you from us, and we trust that the Lord will bless you. If you want a book for somebody else, put $5 in the box that's there, and that will cover the extra book. We also have wooden ornaments of the names of the Lord. Those are not freebies, but you're welcome to look those over. If you want one, you can contribute a donation of $5 for the box there and take one home with you and put it on the Christmas tree. And finally, we have a couple other freebies on that back table. There are bookmarks with the names of the Lord, 40 Jehovah names and 40 El names of the Lord, and that's great to have in your Bible. And then there are large sheets with, I think it's 108 names of the Lord. You can take that home and prayerfully look at it and consider what the Lord would direct you in taking the name of the Lord. As we enter into the Christmas season this year, I carefully prayed and wondered what should I preach on, because for the last 40 years or more, I have preached on the names of the Lord during the Christmas season. So this season is no different than that. We're taking four names of the Lord that are more contemporary names. They are not specific names given in Scripture, but they're implied through the Scriptures. There are four of them, and perhaps you will recognize a song that is recently being sung. Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, and Light in the Darkness. If you haven't heard that, you can look it up online and get that. I enjoy the song. I think it's a powerful song, except they repeat it too many times. I clocked it. It's like 6 or 7 minutes, and it just goes on and on and on. And I want to say, I got it first time around. We're good. But it's a great song that reminds us of the Lord and who He is. So this morning we're looking at Waymaker. Next week, Miracle Worker. Week after that, Promise Keeper. And finally on Christmas Eve, Light in the Darkness. Would you open your Bibles with me as we look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah is a powerful book. I've spent some time over the years going through each of the books of the Bible and pulling out the names of the Lord that are contained in those books. Isaiah has many, many amazing names of the Lord. And this morning we find the name of the Lord as our Waymaker, expressed in Isaiah chapter 43. And I'm going to read this as a large portion, and I hope you have your Bibles open. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 3. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, if you're very astute, you're going through and underlining the names of the Lord that were in that short passage. And then we pick up at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. You do not perceive it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. What a wonderful passage as we see the Lord as our way maker. He is the one who makes a way for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are more than we can possibly comprehend. You have given us over 700 names, some say even 1,000 names in Scripture, that identify your true nature and who you are. Help us these days as we approach a new year to carefully evaluate what we want to believe and trust you for. And give us the name that you have chosen for us to carry into the new year. Father, I pray that each heart that's here, everyone who is a believer, everyone who has trusted Christ as Savior, will cling to that name of the Lord. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Waymaker. God is our waymaker. We read the scriptures from Isaiah 43, which describes Moses in the escape from the Egyptians and how they went out of Egypt with a mighty hand and God's triumphant victory over the enemy. And as they passed through the wilderness, they came to the Red Sea and they couldn't cross. They were trapped. On back of them were mountains. In front of them was a sea that they couldn't cross. And so they cried out to God and said, God, what do we do? The people cried out to Moses and said, why'd you bring us here? There's no way across. There's no way. I want everybody here to look up at me right now and just say, no way, Jose. That's the original Hebrew. No, I'm kidding. But that's what the people were saying. There's no way. There's no way on God's green earth we're going to pass through it. So they were angry at Moses. Why did you bring us here? Why did God lead us out of Egypt? There were great things back there. And though they were slaves in Egypt, they were now thinking of the wonderful things they had back there. And see, they easily backslide and forget what the Lord has given them. God brought them to the edge of the sea to test them. And Moses, too, started to cry out to the Lord, Lord, what do we do? We're not told what he said, but the Lord said, stop crying out to me. Take your staff and stretch it out over the waters and separate the waters. You remember that story. Moses took his rod, his staff, and he held it out over the waters. You got to have a Cecil B. DeMille's picture of this, where the waters suddenly open wide, and the scriptures say there were walls of water on both sides that stood up. And God blew wind across it, and it dried up so the people could go across on dry land. Now, I wonder, those 2 million people that were crossing over on dry land, how they felt when they were walking through these many miles going through the sea and looking at the sea above them, wondering, what are we looking at now? This is amazing. Are we going to drown? Are these walls of water going to come down on us? But when they got the last person across to the other side, God said to Moses, put out your staff again. And he did so, and the waters came down on the Egyptian army that was following them. God made a way through the wilderness. God did that with a mighty hand and outstretched arm because he wants you and me to know that he is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine. He is the way maker when there seems to be no way, when you're up against a rock, when you're up against a sea, when you're up against troubles that don't seem to have any solution. That's when you call upon the Lord as the way maker because he is the one who makes a way when there is no other way. A number of years ago, I was hiking in Colorado in the mountains, and a friend of mine was a hiker, and we decided to explore an area that we didn't know. We were at a ranch, and we decided, well, let's just go out and hike. And so we went out and hiked. Russ was like me, an independent individual, and we came to a canyon, and he says, I'm going around this way. You want to go with me? And I said, no, I want to go this way. And so we split up, and he went one way, I went the other way, figuring that we would keep in contact with each other, at least by vocal shouts and whistles. Well, it wasn't very long, marching around the wilderness for about an hour and a half, I start yelling, Russ, Where are you? Whoop! I whistle. No Russ. No Russ. I'm yelling more and more. And I'm sure Russ was out there somewhere yelling for me, and he was lost, and I was lost, and we were wandering around. It was getting nighttime. It was getting dusk, and I'm starting to panic because I didn't have any water with me. I didn't really know where I was. There was a chasm between me and where I needed to go, and I started to cry out to God, God, help me! I know I'm stupid. I shouldn't have separated myself from my friend, but I am totally lost right now. I do not know where I am or which way to turn. I need your help. And so after I called on the Lord, I just kept walking and kept walking and listening to the Lord say, turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left. And about the time the sun was setting and it really started to get dark, I came over a little hill and right in back of our cabin. And I was safe. And I go, oh, Jesus, I will never do that again. Thank you for being my waymaker. Have you ever been in a situation where you're stuck? You don't know where to go or how to get where you need to go. You don't know how to solve the problem that's in front of you. You can't move the mountain. You can't split the water on the river. You can't do any of those things. You are simply helplessly lost. I remember a story, a true event that took place in 1963. I was living in Michigan with my parents, and it was such a profound event that I remembered it and looked it up online. It was a cave mine accident in Shepton, Pennsylvania, August 1963. Any of you remember that? I remember it because the story is horrendous. Three men were trapped in a mine shaft when it collapsed on them. One man was separated from the other two. The two men were in a large room, probably 10 feet by 6 feet. Consider that large if you're trapped. And they were able to move around, but there was no light. Their lamps went out. There was no light. There was no water. There was no food. There was nothing. And they were trapped 300 feet below the surface of the earth. And there they were, trapped and unable to know, does anybody know we're here? Is anybody looking for us? What are we going to do? Well, after a while, they got thirsty and they had to drink the little puddles of water that accumulated and had all kinds of sulfur taste to it. And they drank that water, but their discussions were, it's hopeless. There's nobody can hear us shout. Nobody can hear us. And they started to pray and ask God for help. Well, little did they know that above the ground, people were searching for them. One of the great millionaires decided that he was going to fund the drill to go down and find these men. And with hope and with prayers, they dug down a 6-inch bore, and they finally penetrated to a place where they thought maybe the men were, pulled the drill out, and they dropped a light, and they dropped some food, and they said, is anybody there? They had now been under the ground 6 days without light, without friend, without food, without water. And at the end of those 6 days, they yelled up, we're here, we're alive, come and get us. And they said, we're coming, it's going to take another 6 or 7 days. Can you imagine? You've got the rescue team that's coming and they're throwing things down the little 6-inch borehole, but they're trying to bore it down big enough that you can get out. On the 14th day of their ordeal, they were finally pulled up from that abyss and set their feet on solid ground again. That was a miracle. And the reason it stuck in my mind is because I really lived that with them and wondered, what would I do if I were stuck underground, not knowing if anyone was out there to help? In times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. In times like these, you need a waymaker, one who will make a way for you. I want to share a couple stories with you. Some real life situations, and then some songs that help you to remember that the Lord is our waymaker. First of all, we're going to look at Scripture. And if I had the time, we'd spend several hours going through all of the stories in the Bible where people were trapped, where people were stuck, where people had great losses and they couldn't find a way through their troubles. We've mentioned Moses, and you know that story. And that's what God used here in Isaiah 43. To demonstrate to us that God knows the way through the wilderness. He has a way to get us to where he wants us to be. But there's another one, and that's the story of Ruth. And as I was preparing this message, I realized in 2022, I will celebrate 50 years of ministry. Now everybody can go, oh, he's really old. It shocked me too. 50 years of ministry. And as I thought on this message, I said, wait a minute, the illustration I'm going to give here, I don't think I've ever preached from Ruth. The book of Ruth, I have ignored. Reasoning, because it's a chick flick. It's a girl story. Yeah, I like the Joshuas, I like the Moses, I like the Judges, and I like all those masterful, manly things. But Ruth is kind of, I got to put on my feminine side and read the book of Ruth. But God put the book of Ruth in here because it's a story about God making a way when there is no way. And the story goes like this. Naomi, who was the senior saint of the crew, a wonderful Jew, lost her husband. She had two daughters, Ruth and Oprah. Winfrey. It wasn't Winfrey, but it was Oprah. You can remember the name that way. And Naomi lost her husband, and she was left with her two sons who had married Oprah and Ruth. And then both of her sons died. And you have to read the first chapter to really get the import of how desperate Naomi was. Naomi lost everything. She lost her husband, and then shortly after lost two of her only boys, and she was left with these daughter-in-laws. So she told the daughter-in-laws, God has forsaken me. God has forgotten about me. He has treated me unkindly, and so you need to go back to your people. No longer stay with me, but go back to your own people, and perhaps you'll get the chance to marry again. But I'm old, and nobody wants me. I'm wrinkly, and no guy wants to iron me out. So she lamented to the daughters and complained about her situation. And finally, she convinced Oprah to go home, and Oprah left her with tears. And she went back to Moab, which is on the other side of the Dead Sea. But Ruth stayed behind, and she says, no, Naomi, I'm not going to leave you. You are alone and without friend and without help, and I'm going to stay with you. And she does that wonderful pledge. Your God will be my God, your people will be my people, and where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if anything but death separates me and you. And so they made that trek. Naomi and Ruth made the trek by themselves as single women all the way around the Dead Sea, across the Jordan River, to get to the town of Bethlehem. Get the connection? And the Lord was born in Bethlehem. And they went back to that city where her relatives were. And in that first chapter, she laments some more. And she says, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. And she wanted Ruth to call her Mara. Isn't that terrible? When you're down and out and nobody seems to care and you feel like everything's lost, the last thing you want to do is go tell somebody that loves you, call me stupid. Call me rejected. Call me no good for nothing. Call me abandoned. Call me bitterness. But Naomi, Ruth would not name Naomi that. She would call her Naomi. And Naomi goes on to say, the Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune on me. And so they arrived in Bethlehem. And to make that long story short, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech. And the man was in good standing. That is, he had material goods. He was wealthy. And his name was Boaz. Well, the rest of the story you can read when you get home. But Naomi goes out in the fields to collect the remainder of what was harvested. And she picked up the wheat and the grains. And then Boaz happened to pass by. And he said to his men, who's that hot chick? That's the original Hebrew. You have to read between the lines. He saw her and he said, who's the young lady? She's new around here. And they told him, that's Ruth. She's the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And he says, ah, Naomi, I know the story. She's come to kind of be under my wing. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. How sad. But I heard the story of Ruth and how she loves Naomi. I'm going to give her favor. So he goes ahead and he gives her favor. He tells his men, leave grain behind when you're harvesting, so this nice-looking girl gets to pick it up. And as the story goes on, the relationship develops, and eventually, Boaz marries Ruth, and they live happily ever after. It's a sad story, but it's a story of the waymaker. That Naomi was hopeless. Naomi didn't know what to do. Ruth didn't know what to do. You lost everything. It seemed like God had turned his face away from you. And then suddenly you say, God, where are you? What is going on? The same thing happened to Jeremiah. It seemed that God was cursing his people and sending them into captivity. And Jeremiah, being a faithful servant of God, in Lamentations chapter 3, he cries out for almost the whole chapter. He laments and says, God, where are you? How come you have abandoned us? Don't you answer prayer anymore? The skies are like brass. I can't get through. You're not hearing my voice. My prayers are not heard anymore. Here's a man of God that goes through deep, troubled times. And he said, Lord, I need a waymaker. And he comes to the end of that chapter, or the middle of that chapter, and he says, but this I will recall, this I will bring to mind, because of the mercies of the Lord we are not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And the rest of that passage is about the promises of God. And God promises to get us through our hard times. Stories of the Bible teach us of people who have gone through hard times. Jesus told the story of lost things in Luke chapter 15, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost prodigal son. In all those messages, he was saying the same thing. Whatever you've lost, God is able to restore. Whatever you lost, God is able to find it again. God makes a way through the wilderness. Now, there are some real life situations, not just biblical stories, but real life situations in which you may find yourself at a loss, not knowing where to go, not knowing what to do. It seems like everything has turned sour. You may have lost your job and you lost your income, lost your investments, lost your career, lost your home, lost your car, lost your health, lost your strength, lost your friend, lost a fiance, lost a spouse, lost your battles, lost your purpose and your hope, and hopefully not, you lost your mind. And sometimes we feel that way, don't we? You're in such anguish of soul. You feel like you're going to lose your mind. Lord, where are you? Where are you? It's at times like this that you need a Savior. There's times like this you need to call upon the Waymaker and say, Lord, you are the Waymaker. You've done it all through the Bible. And I can give you 10 or 15 stories of the Bible where God is the Waymaker to bring us through times that were difficult. We think of David and his men. We often think of David and Goliath and the victories that he had. But David was troubled. Well, a lot of times when he was being persecuted by Saul and then by his own son Absalom, and he had to run away. And it's 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 3 to 5. David and his men reach Ziklag, and they found the city was destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters were taken captive. Can you imagine that, to come home one day and find that your house is burned to the ground? Actually, your whole town is burned to the ground, and people have captured your wife, your sons, and your daughters. And the scripture said, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no more strength to weep anymore. David had two wives that were captured, and yet the Lord was gracious to allow them to find them again, because God knows the way through the wilderness. God knows how to make up the losses that we have and bring us through. What is the thing that you have lost? You may have lost your way, and it seems cloudy, and life may be dreary, and it seems that God's hand has turned against you and his favor has been taken away. It may be that you lost a spouse, or you lost a friend, or you have a marriage that's broken, or a marriage that's breaking, or your children are lost and wandering far away from God, or you've made some bad decisions and bad investments, and those things have wiped out your inheritance and your savings. We are here today to know that the Lord is the waymaker. When there seems to be no way, when it seems impossible that God can somehow get through, God will find a way for you if you will call upon his name. When there seems to be no escape, when the dark cloud is hovering over you, when it seems you're parked in the pit of hell, then God says, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know about yet. It may be that you've lost your health. and I look at our aging congregation, and I include myself in that, we're not getting better and better. Many of us are getting weaker and weaker, and we got things that go bad in the night, and we got things that go bad in the daytime. Our bones are getting rusty. Our brains are getting a little weaker, and things are not what they used to be. And God says, do not fear. I am with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. It's interesting that our passage in Isaiah 43 comes shortly after chapter 40, where up to chapter 40, it was all God's judgment upon his people and chastisement. And then in chapter 40, he says, comfort ye my people, comfort my people. They've had enough sorrow. And from chapter 40 on, it's all joy of what the Lord is going to do in restoring Israel, in restoring their fortunes, and doing all those good things that he promises. I challenge you to go through chapter 40 down to the end of Isaiah and find the wonderful promises. I have three full pages in very fine print of the promises in that passage. They're wonderful, and they're waiting there. God the Waymaker saying, I am not going to leave you. I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to lead you through troubled waters. And when the waters flow over you, you will not be drowned. And when the fire comes, you will not be burned, because I am the Lord who makes a way through the wilderness. Let me tell you another story. You probably heard this story sometime or other. It's a story of Ashley Smith. Kind of a generic name. My wife is a Smith, and she was happy to marry LaFountain and have a decent name. Ashley Smith was a single mother. She had been a drug addict. She got saved. The Lord delivered her from her drugs, and she was in recovery. She still had problems. And then one day, a murderer was in town, and he had killed a number of people. He ended up in her apartment and broke in. And he held her captive. And she was terrified and didn't know what to do. A single mother, without help and without hope. No way out. This murderer was so strong and so violent, he could easily take her life. Ashley said, I didn't know what to do, so I grabbed the book that I was reading, and it happened to be Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life. And she asked the man, can I read to you? Can I read what I've been reading? She began to read the story of God's victory and God's promises and God's purpose for our lives. And she finished that first passage, and he turned to her and said, can you read some more? She read some more, and they read to the wee hours of the morning. And that night he gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he surrendered himself to the police. Ashley has that wonderful testimony, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what the answer would be. I thought for certain I was going to die. But she turned to her Waymaker. She turned to the Lord, and the Lord brought victory in Jesus' name. And I want you to consider some songs that bring you comfort in the times when you've lost your way. God leads his children along in shady green pastures so rich and so sweet. God leads his children along where the waters cool, flow bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, and some through the great sorrow. But God gives the song in the night seasons and all the day long. Do you remember the old song? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other friend can do. I remember that song very well because we had a hillbilly singer in our church that would stand up with his guitar. And every time I hear that song, I think of him singing that. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other friend can do. Don Moen has written a song called God Will Make a Way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each day, he will make a way. He will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness he will lead. The rivers in the desert I will see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his word will still remain. He will do something new for me and for you. And finally, the song we began with, Waymaker. If you get a chance to listen to it online, listen to 3 minutes of it and then cut it off. It says, you are here moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are the Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. You are here touching every heart. You are here healing every heart. I worship you. I turn my life over to you. You are mending us, making us, and breaking us. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. I want to close this Waymaker with the most powerful promise in all the earth. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You see, we need to understand that all of us are on this conveyor called life. And life moves along with time, and that conveyor belt keeps carrying us. We can't stop. We can't grow young. We grow older. And then one day that conveyor belt's going to stop, and we're going to be thrust into eternity. Every one of us. No one is an exception. And Jesus said, that's when you know you need to know who your Waymaker is. That you won't have to cross Jordan alone. That Jesus Christ is your Savior, and He says, I will come to you and I will take you to be with me. That where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way. And Thomas says to him, Lord, I don't know the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. My friends, have you found Jesus Christ to be your Waymaker? Have you asked Him to come into your life and to change your life? Have you asked Him to be your Savior and to carry you through to eternity, to heaven's everlasting home? Or are you struggling on your own, trying to make your own way, trying to earn your own way to heaven? And Jesus says, stop it. Give it up. You can't make a way. I am the only way. Trust Him, and He will see you through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. You are the Waymaker, oh Lord. And we are the pessimistic, negative thinkers that sometimes, Lord, we just think there's no way, Jose, there is no way in the world. There's nothing that can happen that will make this better. But Lord, you have promised us better days. You've come to Isaiah, and you, from chapter 40 onward, you've assisted him to teach your people that you are the God who never forsakes us, never leaves us. You will hold our hand. I pray for those that are going through troublesome times today. They've lost a spouse. They've lost a husband. They've lost a wife. They've lost some friend. They've lost some relationship. I pray for those, Lord, that have lost things that are dear to them and they're not sure what tomorrow holds. That I pray that they will trust you to hold tomorrow. For you make a way through the wilderness and a way through the sea. I pray if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ, has not yet surrendered his life and asked Jesus to come in and cleanse him and her of their sin, that you would do that this morning as they call upon your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service this morning with the chorus that we're going to sing throughout the series, and that is, I got it here. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And we want you to stand and sing it. We're going to sing it a cappella. If you don't know it, you will know it by the end of the Christmas season. Let's stand together. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It's in your bulletin in the insert.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Now you know the song. We're going to sing it again. And this time, sing it with faith, believing, Jesus, your name is the sweetest name I know.
Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Amen. Father, we thank you that we have gathered together in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Word of God that is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among the saints. We thank you that you are the way maker and yet you see ahead and prepare the way before us. Go with us now. Grant us your benediction and lead us in the steps that you have ordered. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Don't forget to stop at the table and look at the names of the Lord and prayerfully consider the name he wants you to carry.